Tough Rock Podcast.
Thank you, Pastor Chad. It has been fun to be here in Colorado. Only been here since October, and you guys have all been very welcoming and kind, and it's been great to get to know people at the church. And so far, Jordan's my favorite person here, and the rest of you have some work to do to catch up on that. I have spent most of my adult life, if you will, as either a youth pastor or a college pastor on some level. So in the last service, real special treat for me that everyone was paying attention, because I'm totally not used to that at all. So I'm literally like, if I have to call out anybody, like, I will do it. So, but it was great to like not be interrupted and not have to tell people like, hey, you stop making out, you know, which I have legitimately had to do that to kids while I was preaching for and tell them to stop making out. So obviously I was a very captivating youth pastor. But Adrian's matured quite a bit since then. So it's, he's kind of moved on from some of that. So when Pastor Chad first approached me, you know, a few weeks ago, telling me about this series and on being healthy and habits, and I was like, oh, can I talk about emotional health? Because I'm a super emotionally healthy person. And he was like, well, you know, Debbie really wanted that one, so we're going to let her preach. And I was like, fine, whatever. I'll do physical health. So that's what we're here to do today, talk about our physical bodies and how that affects our life as a believer. But before we begin, let's go ahead and pray. Hey, Jesus, it's Daniel. We're here together today to somehow become more like you. I just ask that you open our hearts to hear what it is that you have to say to us. And as we leave here today, that our lives would be transformed. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, about 17 years ago, I woke up on a Sunday morning. I was going to get ready to go to church, and I had this really bad pain in like the right side of my lower back here. And at the time, I was roofing to supplement my income, and so I was always hurting myself. I was injured on some level all the time. And so I thought, well, maybe I just hurt my back or I threw my back out again or something. But very quickly, it started to evolve, and it got worse and worse. And within about 2 or 3 hours, I was just in the fetal position on the bathroom floor, just like vomiting from pain, and could not get up, couldn't move. So my family rushes me to the hospital. I get there, come to find out that I have a kidney infection combined with some kidney stones. And so, like, if you've ever had kidney issues or kidney stone issues, you know, like, you know, we're bonded. Like, you know what I'm talking about at this point, you know. Have this procedure, you know, they get rid of the stones, and it took a while to recover from all of that, but, you know, it was a terrible traumatic experience, but I'm like, okay, you know, I'm okay, I'm over that. About 3 years later, I woke up in the middle of the night, same pain again in my lower right side of my back. And this time I knew what it was. And so I'm like, we're going to the hospital, like, right now. We're not going to do this again. So I get to the hospital, and they say, come back when you're in more pain. I'm like, oh, because, you know, this is what they do. And so I went home, and then, like, I'll be back. And I was back in, like, 3 hours. And they just pumped me full of morphine, didn't do any good, you know. And all sorts of stuff. They're trying to figure it out. I'm like, guys, I know what it is. You know when you tell a doctor, like, you know what the problem is, and they don't believe you and stuff. So anyway, end up having that same procedure again. And they discovered in that process two things that are unique to me. One is that if I get kidney stones, they will kill me because it blocks my kidneys and keeps anything from exiting my kidneys. Everything just backs up, all the poisons and fluids and everything. So I'll die if I get kidney stones and I don't have this procedure. And the second thing they discovered is unique to me is what was causing those things in my body. And so I was able to determine, and they were able to determine, that it's through my diet and exercise that I could control that. I could prevent that from ever happening in my life again. Even though it has been a hereditary issue in my family, it's something that can be completely controlled by my diet, by what it is that I'm eating and my exercise. Now, since that point, since that experience and having to go through that twice and spend all of that money and all of that, I am highly motivated, okay, to do the things to prevent that from happening in my life again. The things that I drink, the things that I eat, I'm very specific about that. My exercise, all of that, I have a great drive to make that happen. Maybe you have experienced something similar. It could have been an illness or something that you have gone through, but because it took place in your life, you now have a passion for something and a motivation for something like that you did not have before and that would not have come into your life had that experience not been there. You guys have probably heard of, I know you have, the organization Mothers Against Drunk Driving, right? It's founded by this lady named Catherine Leiter in 1980 because her 13-year-old daughter was hit and killed by a drunk driver. So that horrible traumatic experience that she went through and had to walk through with her family, because of that, it ignited within her this passion. And she started this organization that statistics say that since 1980, drunk driving has been reduced by about 50% in America because of what she did. All of that happened out of this terrible traumatic experience. My friend Adrian, he works for Colorado Uplift. And it's an organization that works with kids who are just, you know, not in great homes and difficult, some challenging situations, right? And he'll be the first to tell you that he went through some similar experiences himself growing up. And because of that, he has the ability to be empathetic, for one, but it has given him a passion for connecting with and working with students in that kind of a situation. Now, what does this have to do with your physical health? It's that time of year again, when everybody makes their New Year's resolutions, right? All of those things they're dying out now. But, you know, my New Year's resolution this year was to not make any New Year's resolutions. And obviously I failed. But the number one New Year's resolutions that they will say, hands down, is every year I'm going to eat better, I'm going to start exercising, right? I'm going to get in shape this year. It blows every other New Year's resolution out of the water, the amount of people that choose to make that their New Year's resolution. And that is well evidenced at Planet Fitness over here where Adrian and I work out. It's just crazy in there, right? And just so many people. And last week I asked one of the staff members, I asked him, it's like, hey, when are all the newbies going to be gone? You know, because like we can get back on a machine and make it easy again. And she laughed and she said, in about a month, maybe a little bit more than a month, it'll be back to what it was before. Now, why is that, right? I mean, we all know the benefits of eating healthier. We all know the benefits of physical exercise. We don't need to have that taught to us anymore. But the truth is, it's hard. It's not easy to do because that weight's really heavy, and I don't like lifting heavy things, right? So it's difficult to do, and we don't see the results we want right away, right? We're in there for a week, and we're like, I've done 17 sit-ups. Where's my six-pack, right? And we want to, like, you know, there should be more visible evidence than there is today. But it takes a very long time before you actually see results, and it cuts into your lifestyle, right? It cuts into your time. You have to make it a priority, time-wise, to either wake up early or go after work or in the evening or whenever it is. And certain aspects of your lifestyle that you're accustomed to, eating certain things all the time, and then now you have to change that, it's not easy. It's a difficult thing to do. But here's an important truth that applies to our physical life as well as our spiritual life, and that's this. Just knowing that something is good for us or that it's the right thing to do is rarely enough motivation to actually do it, okay? And this is an important thing for us to remember, that just because you know something to be true, know something to be right, that's not necessarily enough motivation for you to actually do that thing. Now, this is not true with every circumstance, but for the most part it is, and I can prove it to you. Here's how I know. We all do stupid, unhealthy, wrong, and sinful things with the full knowledge that they are stupid and unhealthy and wrong and sinful things. Every day you do this on some level, you will. Complete knowledge that this is not the thing that is going to bring about the results in my life that I want, I'm going to do it anyway. We need more help than just some revelation, a revelation of a truth, some epiphany. It's not enough to start living out that truth necessarily. Last week, when Debbie spoke about emotions, if you weren't here, definitely listen to that message. It was a great, great truth, some things that could be very helpful in you becoming a more emotionally healthy person. Yet, we probably forgot most of them already. You're not going to remember anything that I've said today very quickly. You know, you will forget it. And I'm not remotely offended by that because this is what we do as humans. We forget. We get distracted. Life is happening over here. This thing is doing. This becomes a priority. All this stuff. And we forget these things that we know are important to do, and we end up not acting out on them. Now, I think there are two major ways, I believe, that a truth can really sink into our hearts, can really kind of change our character, become a part of who we are. There are two ways that things happen in our life to change us at the core. And the first one is trauma, okay? Trauma, almost die from kidney stones or cancer or heart failure or something. You know what's going to happen when you go through that experience? It will change some things that you do once you have come through it. Lose a child to a drunk driver, right? Like this lady, Catherine Leiter, did. It will ignite a passion within you for something that you did not ever want to have a passion for, but now you do. Survive, you know, go through a difficult experience in life through abuse or whatever it is, and then come out on the other side and be able to speak into people's lives because of it. Trauma will produce things in our life that are often very good and very healthy things. God loves to use our pain, our horrible, difficult situations in life to refine us, to bring us to a place where we are more like Jesus. And it's a cliche saying, but it's very true, that you will either become bitter or better from it. And it's totally just a choice. It is just simply a decision that you get to make in that circumstance. But there is a way that we can develop godly, positive, healthy habits in our lives without having to go through trauma, okay? And you're not going to like it. I'm just going to tell you right now. It is discipline, okay? Discipline. These are the two ways that we develop our physical life, our mental life, emotionally, spiritually, whatever. These are the two major ways that God allows us to develop these things in our life. Now, what we all want a magic pill that we can take, right? That, like, I'm just going to grow my hair, it's going to make me stronger, I'm going to get that job, I'm going to fall in love with the perfect person, I'm going to quit smoking, and all of these things that we want to see happen in our life. And so we pray for a miracle, and we say, God, just help me through this, and deliver me from this thing, and give me this thing, and I'll serve you forever, and I'll always go to church every Sunday, and we make all these promises and stuff. And pray for miracles. Pray for all of those things in your life. We are told to pray for absolutely everything. But when God does not miraculously answer that prayer for your life to help you overcome that thing, to get better at that thing that you want to in life, what we tend to do sometimes is we get frustrated, we relapse, right? We'll fall back into kind of some of the same ruts that we were in before. And sometimes, if you're lucky, truth is, you'll get a slap in the face. Like, you'll get some kidney stones, or you'll go through some traumatic experience. And it will force your hand to do things that can bring about good in your life. But you don't have to go through that if you can choose to live a disciplined life. You will see it scattered throughout Scripture. The way that God chooses to operate is that he gives us tools, and then he gives us the ability to use them. All right? That is God's method of operation. Here are the tools you need. Here's the ability to accomplish these things in your life. Now go do it, okay? If you want to change without going through a traumatic experience, it's going to require discipline. Only about 8%, they say, of Americans who make these New Year's resolutions to eat healthier and to exercise, all of these things, about 8% of Americans actually end up doing it. And it actually end up affecting their life in some sort of a way. Because discipline is hard, because we don't see results very quickly when we start to slowly discipline our life, and because it cuts into our life. It interferes with my lifestyle, things that I have going on, things that I want to do right now. But discipline is necessary if you are going to learn and grow and transform yourself without having to go through a traumatic experience. Now, what does Scripture say about this? I read the book of Proverbs every day. If this is something super simple you guys can do, is if you ever wonder, what should I read today? Today is the 14th. Read Proverbs chapter 14, okay? It's super easy. You'll learn a lot. The wisest book, I've been reading this, been doing this for years. And last week, I saw something that I had never seen before in all of my readings through Proverbs. In the first three verses, I want to look at the first three verses of Proverbs, and it says this. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right and just and fair. The most insightful, wise book in the Bible, written by the wisest man who's ever walked the face of the earth, the purpose of all of those wonderful little nuggets of truth that we like to read and think about, the purpose is so that you can become a disciplined person. Okay? Because if you are not a disciplined person, you're not going to be able to be successful. You're not going to learn how to walk justly and in right ways, all of these things. The purpose of that book was so that you can become disciplined. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says that for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Now, we love to talk about the power of God, right? God is can do anything. He's all-powerful and miracles, and we want to see miracles happen. The power of God, yes, and the love of God. We hear this all of the time about how much God loves us, what the love of God can do when it transforms our life. This is what the Spirit of God is. But it is also one of self-discipline. See, as a believer, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you get so much. You don't even know. I don't even know. I don't have a clue, okay? But I know from this scripture right here that we get power and we get love, the ability to love like we don't have on our own, and we get the ability to be disciplined, to be self-disciplined. It is one of the benefits of having the Spirit of God living within you as a believer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says this, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Paul is saying here, your body needs to be disciplined, and you need to discipline your body. Otherwise, you could miss out on what God wants to do in your life. You could miss out. You can derail God's plans for your life by your inability and lack of deciding to live a disciplined life in your physical body. God wants to do great things, but you can mess those up. One more here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says that no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. Okay? But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Now, this verse in Hebrews chapter 12, it's speaking specifically to the kind of discipline of like being corrected, like correction discipline, right? Like when we spank our kids, you know, when you ever get spanked, it's not enjoyable in the moment, but ultimately it produces good things in your child's life. I got spanked all the time growing up, okay? And I turned out awesome. So spank your kids. There's nothing wrong with spanking them. They're not going to hurt them. It's in Proverbs. Look it up, you know? Just don't spank them in Starbucks because, you know, Walmart is okay, but probably not Starbucks. Anyway, I got spanked. My last time I got spanked, like a legitimate spanking, I was in 11th grade, okay? And I got spanked by my high school principal in 11th grade. So, and it's actually a really funny story, but it's not appropriate for today. But, so, this verse here, though it is directly speaking to, and I don't want to take it out of context, about discipline and the correction side of it, if you look at it, this also applies to being self-disciplined, because the truth is, being self-disciplined is not enjoyable while it's happening, okay? It is not enjoyable to wake up at 5 in the morning and go for a run, okay? Your body does not want to do that. It's not enjoyable. But if you want to be trained in this way and have these things produced in your life, it's necessary. It is not enjoyable to say no to that second Culver's milkshake at 9 o'clock at night because you know just how amazing they are and your body wants it. So it's not enjoyable to have to say no to those things. But if you want to train your body to do better, to heal, to be more healthy, it's going to require some unenjoyable experiences. Now, this is important. If you do want to develop any characteristic, be it in your physical body or in your spiritual man, you're going to have to discipline your body. Okay. You can't just say, you know what, I want to be a super Christian. I want to really love Jesus, and I just really want to know the Word and be close to God, and I want to be a spiritual person. That's great. Let me tell you how that starts. Okay. It starts in your physical body. If you do not do the things in your physical body and with your mind that are necessary, you will not develop these other traits that you so desperately want to, because your physical body has great influence over your spiritual man. The things that you do to your body, in your body, with your body, through it, they have incredible influence over what is happening in your spiritual man at that same time, okay? Your physical body does not want to always get up and come to church on Sunday morning, okay? It doesn't. It wants to do other. It does not want to wake up and spend a little time reading the Bible at breakfast in the morning. It does not naturally want to do that, or the time that you feel that you need to volunteer and to help out, you know, with things at the church or working with kids. Your body will fight you on those all the time, because your body is very selfish. It does what it wants to do. It wants to be selfish. It wants to sit at home on the couch and eat Taco Bell and binge Netflix. Okay, that's what your body, like, left to your own vices. This is what you will do, okay? It's not interested in you becoming a better person at all, okay? Now, the more you start doing these healthier things, working out, eating better, whatever discipline it may be, the more that you start doing them, the more you actually start to desire them. See, no longer do I crave Mountain Dew. Like, that used to be like all I would drink, right? I don't even think about it anymore. You know, my body actually craves vegetables at this point, and this smoothie that I make, and this nasty tuna and brown bean or brown rice and bean concoction that I make, and like, if I don't eat that, like, my body is like, you're doing something wrong. And if I don't work out or go do something active for like 2 days, my body is like, what are you doing to us? You know, this isn't right. This isn't what you normally do. That did not happen overnight. That did not happen in like a 1 week time period. It did not happen in like a 1 month time period. It took time for my body to get to that point to where those are the things that it craved. And granted, I had a nice slap in the face to kind of help me with some of those things, which is why I think trauma can be a great experience, but we don't always get that. And so if you don't decide, in essence, to just stop waiting for a miracle, okay? Yes, pray for miracles, pray for all those things, but stop waiting for a miracle to happen and just start doing the things to discipline your body now, and you will be surprised how it ends up affecting your spiritual life. Now, at this point, I was thinking, you know what maybe I should do is I should list a few, like, practical things that we could do to develop disciplines. What are some hands-on stuff? You know, because I like the practical. I like getting my hands dirty. Like, what are some down-to-earth stuff that we could talk about? And I decided against that for this reason, because church and this gathering and scripture, it is not some self-help seminar, okay? This is not some Tony Robbins thing that you're going to go to, and you're going to leave just feeling all pumped up and like, yeah, I can do this, and I'm motivated to do this. This is not what this is about, okay? You already know the things that you need to do to live a disciplined life. No one needs to get up here and tell you those things in regard to your physical body or your spiritual life, your emotional health, whatever. Those disciplines that are necessary, you know those things. You're not an idiot, okay? And there are plenty of books and stuff you can find online to, like, eating programs and reading programs for the Word. You can figure all of that out, okay? You're adults. What I want us to realize is this, is that as a believer, the Spirit of God is living within us, okay? Because of that Spirit living within us, we have been given so much. And we could stand up here and we could talk about all day just the variety of things that actually means to us. But one of those things is the ability to discipline your body, okay? And we don't like to talk about that. We don't want to think about it. But God has put that within you to live this disciplined life. And it is better if you just discipline yourself than getting to the point where God has to discipline you. Trust me, because that is not nearly as fun. So start with doing those things that are necessary for you to discipline your body to get to that place that he wants to take you. There's an article by A.W. Tozer called The Hunger of the Wilderness. Now, Tozer was a theologian in like the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and he was a pastor and a scholar, and he's one of the easier to read theologians. You know, most of them are like, "What are you talking about, you know, dude?" And Tozer's really easy to read. So just Google this, look it up, read the whole article. It's only like a page and a half long, something like that, sometime today. But the premise of it, premise of this whole article is this: is that in nature, things want to be wild and unproductive and unfruitful. Okay. You can have a beautifully manicured garden, and you spend all this time, you know, it's mowed perfectly, and you got rose bushes, and there's vines and flowers and all this, and you work for days and days, and you step back, and you look at it, and it's beautiful. And if you walk away and then come back 3 months later, it's not going to look the same, okay? Unless you are out there every day pulling weeds and mowing the lawn and fertilizing where you need to, you know, it's just, I got a haircut this week. You know why? Because left unattended, this turns into a massive, like, fro, like, young Bob Dylan kind of vibe, and it's, like, not the look I'm going for. So you know what I do? I get a haircut. I maintain it. I keep up on it, okay? Disciplining your life is exactly the same way. And whatever farming metaphor you want to use about fertilizing the soul with the Word of God and pulling the weeds in your life, like, they all apply, okay? Because the bias of the field is toward the wilderness, Tozer says. So let me finish here with, this is the last couple sentences of this article. And this is what he says. Take into account the hunger of the wilderness. The lambs must be shepherded or they will be killed. The field must be cultivated or it will be lost. And spiritual gains must be conserved by watchfulness and prayer or they too will fall victim to the enemy. See, God has great things that he wants to do to you, through you, with you. And they're all for his glory. It's not about you even remotely, okay? He wants to use you, but you can derail those plans. God does not always get what he wants, okay? He doesn't want anybody to perish, but guess what? People perish, okay? We have the ability to mess with what God wants in our lives. And if we do not discipline ourselves, this is what happens. Paul is very clear on that matter. Now, I believe, personal philosophy, that church, like a gathering like this, I like to call this a moment of spiritual sobriety, okay? Right now, you are not inebriated by the world, and you are not distracted by all of the things as soon as you walk out this door that are just going to come over back on top of you and just overwhelm you. In this moment of spiritual sobriety, it is so much easier to hear that still, small voice. And that's how God talks. God's not a screamer. It's a still, small voice. And so while it's quiet here in this moment, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think, what is God asking of me? Because every time you come here together like this and you hear the Word of God and you worship, I promise you, God is speaking to you in this tiny, tiny little voice. So I want you just to be still for a moment and just think about it. What is this thing that God's asking of me to do? This change that I can make in my life? And be honest with yourself. Just be brutally honest with yourself. Because that little, still, small voice that you're hearing now, like, that's the best thing you're going to hear today. All day. Even if it's just two words, okay? But now comes the challenging part. Okay. See, we've all heard the voice. We all know. We don't have to sit and listen all day. We know. We know. So here's my challenge. Do that thing. Just do that thing. Okay. Don't overthink it. You're not smart enough to figure it out. Okay, what's going on behind it and why and all this stuff. And don't ask God why. God, why do I have to go through this? God does not answer the why question. I finally figured that out, okay? Like, that's a question for eternity, and he'll answer that one then. Don't ask God why. It's just, what is the thing he's asking of you right here, right now? And just do that thing. Walk out of here today determined to discipline your body and yourself to do the thing that he is asking you to do. And trust me, you will be amazed at what he ends up accomplishing in your life. Let's pray. Father, today, while we're here in this moment and we're just going to pause and we're going to worship you, We know you're speaking to us. And I ask for each person in this room that you would remind us this week that the ability to discipline ourselves, to do the thing that you have put on our heart, you have given us the ability. Your Holy Spirit within us is powerful, it is loving, and it is one of self-discipline. And we can do the thing that you're asking, not by our own power. It is by your power living within us that gives us that ability. Remind us this week so that we can become more like Jesus. In your name, amen.
Hey, Daniel, I knew that, you know, when we were talking, the Holy Spirit just wouldn't stop whispering in my ear, you need to ask him to do that message. I had no idea, man. I got to be honest with you. We've known you. You're serving. We love having you here, but you are the earliest person I've ever asked to come up and preach, and now I know why. So thank you for sharing such a poignant message, so powerful, and so helpful to all of us, right? What a great reminder, isn't it? That it's not just we wanted to have good things in our life, but the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of that happening. Amen? Amen. So as he was preaching, there was just one verse that kept coming into my mind, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And it basically asks the questions, do you not know that you are God's temple and that his Spirit dwells within you, that he dwells in our midst? Amen? So that's the reminder. That's the balance that I heard in your message. Thank you so much for that. That it's not just wanting to live a healthy life, but it's knowing that God has redeemed all of our life, right? Are you like me at all that you want to compartmentalize things like, ah, emotionally I'm doing pretty good, physically a little bit less, spiritually it's awesome, things are great. But hear this. When God redeemed our lives, he redeemed all of it. All of it. And he's committed to living that health out through us day in and day out. Amen? Amen. Hey, we're going to close in prayer in just a moment. But before we do that, I know that there are some with us today that as you stand here today, you don't know that you have a relationship with Jesus. You're not sure that he lives inside of you as we talk about these topics today. And so if that's you here today, we're going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer that we pray every week here at North Rock Church, because we know that it's only by his Spirit and it's only by his strength that any of us break through in the areas that we need to, right? The Bible tells us in Romans that if you can believe in your heart and you can confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross for your sin, and that he rose from the grave 3 days later, that you can receive this new life that he offers to you. Many of you people standing around you right now have made that very same declaration and have begun to live out the life that Jesus has for us as he, in moment by moment, transforms us into his likeness. So if you're praying it for the very first time, we don't think you should have to do it alone. And so we pray this prayer as a community every week, knowing that God is always drawing people to himself. Amen. So let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose on the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, if God's doing something good in your heart, can you give him an applause? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your power in our midst. Amen? Amen. Hey, if we can pray for you for any need in your life, we have a team available for that. But if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd love to meet you after the service. I've got a gift to help you get started in this journey with Jesus, okay? God bless you. Thank you for being here. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.